Hello and welcome to The Flaming Goblin. This is Tim, and for this episode I'm going to be talking a bit about the Advanced Fighting Fantasy campaign that I recently ran for our gaming group. I'll talk about each adventure in turn, and then do a part two where I'll talk about the conclusion of the campaign, and I'll discuss the lessons that I learned from running the campaign in more detail. So, the players who I'm director for wanted me to run another campaign featuring their oldest and most favourite characters. I'd previously run several homebrewed adventures for them, and then adapted the adventures from the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition book, Ghosts of Saltmarsh, for use with Advanced Fighting Fantasy. That book fitted in well with the characters because they had started off in the port of Blacksand. I just needed to move them up the coast a bit to a new territory. The downside was that since the Dungeons & Dragons character progression is a lot faster than Advanced Fighting Fantasy and it unlocks lots of new special abilities, I've been very generous with experience points and bonuses, so I needed to think carefully about making future adventures suitably challenging. I learned a lot from the experience of writing and running the campaign, and I hope you'll find the following reflections interesting and helpful. So we began with the repossession of Craggle Rock. I'd enjoyed reading the wonderful book So You Want to Be a Game Master by Justin Alexander, and I was inspired by Proactive Roleplaying, which is a book by Jonah and Tristan Fischel, which suggests getting your players to set goals for their characters rather than always having them react to a new evil threat. Because the heroes were already experienced adventurers, who in this case happened to be rather whimsical anthropomorphic animals, they had some loose goals and motivations in mind, but they already found themselves in a fairly stable position. My solution then was to threaten to take something away from them. And this was their hard-won base, which is a little island tower known as Craggle Rock. So our fox person sorcerer, Ember, dog person fighter, Fetchit, cat person rogue, Whiskers, and rat person fighter, Sleeky, were all ready to spring into action again. In this adventure, the taxman, James Crofty Goodcroft, arrived and said that the team's quest giver, the crime boss Edmondo Goldenhand, had failed to complete the necessary documentation and tax payments for Craggle Rock when he gifted it to them. So the state was going to repossess it in 14 days unless Edmondo corrected the errors. Seeking out Edmondo, the heroes discovered that he'd been captured by his old rival, Antonio Vincente, and clues told them he'd been taken back to their home country of Brancalonia. So we began the first adventure, The Helm in the Caverns. I had my own personal wish list of wild and exciting ideas that I wanted to treat the characters to during the campaign. I knew the crime bosses came from the unofficial Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign setting of Brancalonia, which I wanted the heroes to experience visiting. And I wanted to introduce flying ships to the campaign, which would also provide ideal transport abroad. The heroes had already acquired a galleon named the Sea Ghost, but it wouldn't get to Brancalonia and back in time to pay the taxes unless it was fitted with a magical helm, which is an idea from the Dungeons & Dragons Spelljammer setting, to make the ship fly. I'd previously used the dice drop method from Advanced Fighting Fantasy to design a dungeon that was a series of linked caverns inhabited by a king lizard, Slithic, who ruled over a small group of Scorn. I repurposed this for the adventure, deciding that the king lizard was forcing the Scorn to build a flying ship for him using a magical ship's helm he had captured. The background for the Scorn in Out of the Pit was inspiring in that their race had already fought for freedom from oppression, so I drew from that and had the Scorn setting up their own union, which the heroes took advantage of in overthrowing Slithic and taking the helm for themselves. Adventure 2 is entitled The Feast of Saint Oviero. The concept for this adventure came to me quite well formed from the start. Vincente's goal was to publicly humiliate and execute his old enemy, Goldenhand, at the climax of the annual carnival and parade. I designed a townhouse for Vincente and his henchmen to be holding Golden Hand in, and added enough NPCs, like the Master of Ceremonies, a clown, a plumber, to make the setting feel alive and provide enough clues for the heroes to achieve a successful raid. There was a lot of local atmosphere as drunken revelers filled the streets. It was fun to think logically about the kinds of items the heroes might find in Vincente's house. Information about the vineyards he owned was secured in the office, and a magical potion of insect control made for a fun magical item to find that would logically be very useful to someone growing grapes on the hillside. I love it when the players surprise me with cool and cinematic ideas, so it was a great conclusion to the adventure when they escaped down the hill on a stolen parade float in the shape of a dragon. Our next adventure was entitled The Tunnels in the Marshes. The heroes had successfully rescued Golden Hand, but Vincente escaped. They suffered a huge setback when, pursued by Vincente in his own flying ship, they were blown off course by a magical storm and crashed the sea ghost on the side of a mountain. Another item on my wish list for this campaign was for the original anthropomorphic adventurers to meet up with the other group of characters that our players regularly run. It felt like a Marvel end credit scene when, thrown from the crashed ship and lying dazed on the mountainside, Fetchit and Sleeky saw the unmistakable claw of a tiger person, beloved AFF hero Blackstripe Bloodclaw, reaching towards them. The following adventure picked up with members of the two different teams joining forces to find a safe route down from the mountain and into the Blind Summit Tavern in the foothills, where the gnome bard Erebus was due to perform that night. Because the usual route had been blocked by Vincente's assassin, Sansonetto, the heroes needed to find a path through the tunnels in the marshes, which was another dice drop dungeon I had created beforehand. Tough orcs equipped with traps and a ballista made this tricky. Adventure 4 was called The Ship on the Mountain. Ember and Whiskers had remained on the ship when it crashed. They met up with dwarf rogue Nogra and elf fighter Eomar, who came to investigate. They defeated a cockatrice that had sought refuge from the storm inside the wreck, despite Whiskers getting badly wounded. Hiding from Vincente's flying ship and seeking aid, they discovered a mountain hut where they fought a death spider that had been alluded to in the tunnels in the previous adventure, but the other team had avoided an encounter with it. Killing the Death Spider, the second team of heroes also made it safely to the Blind Summit Tavern to regroup. I used an encounter with local wise man, Liam Biggerfish, to sow some seeds for future adventures. He explained the local monsters were being manipulated by a witch named Granny Nightshade. She's an NPC from the Ghosts of Saltmarsh book. And that she had also been twisting the teachings of Ember's old magical school by imprisoning the headmaster, Professor Oxwicks, and using her own evil influence. There were also some flyers for a mysterious ice theatre littering the tavern, which I recreated in handout form for the players. Adventure number 5 was called The Tax Office Quest. Sometimes a campaign needs a change of pace. Whilst I could have simply stated that the heroes safely delivered Golden Hand to the tax office at Blacksand, I felt it would be helpful to play out the journey. I rolled up some random wilderness encounters from the Advanced Fighting Fantasy Adventure Generator book and gave them twists to reflect the standing and influence of the characters on the local area. The dwarf prospectors they met were only there because the fish person army had been defeated by the heroes in the last campaign. The aggressive barbarian was there to test his might against the famous warriors. And the seaside puppet show, complete with pickpockets, was reenacting the famous exploits of the heroes themselves. The heroes also sought out expert naturalist Christopher Trackham for navigation advice. As a fan of the TV show Springwatch, I thought it would be fun to include a character based on presenter Chris Packham. It was a good example of how inspiration can be found anywhere. I even found a suitable hat to wear to bring the character to life. So, that's a good place to finish this particular episode. I'll be back again soon to tell you about the conclusion of the campaign, where we'll visit the Ice Theatre and some other interesting locations. And I'll talk a bit more in detail about the lessons I learned running the campaign. Thank you very much for listening, and let us know what you thought. Perhaps you've adapted adventures from Dungeons & Dragons or other systems to Advanced Fighting Fantasy. Do you prefer running homebrew adventures or published ones? I'd be interested to know if you keep to the tone of the original Fighting Fantasy game settings, or do you introduce different ideas like we've done? Look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.